Jai Guru Dev, and welcome to the opening of the Schwartz Gooch Sustainable Living Center. This building is significant not just for Maharishi University of Management, but for the entire building industry and for the entire world. This building arguably has more intelligence folded into every particle of it than any other building in the world. And it raises the standard of building in all over the world to the highest level that it has ever been. And we want to congratulate everybody who's been involved in creating this beautiful structure. Eight years ago, this building was a soft, tender thought deep in the awareness of Dr. David Fisher, founder of our Sustainable Living Program. And it was such a pure and powerful and timely thought that it gathered all of the support that it needed over these past 8 years to come to fruition today. This is a day that we've looked forward to for years, and suddenly, here we are. It's come very quickly now, it seems, in hindsight. We have a number of people who we want to have offer their remarks and reflections on this special occasion, and we're going to start with John Littman, our campus architect. John Littman has designed all of the new buildings that have been built according to Maharishi Vastu these past 12 years, and many, many buildings in Fairfield and around the world, and is probably the most knowledgeable person about this approach to architecture in the Western Hemisphere. So please congratulate and welcome John Littman.
This building's form arose from the Eco Fair that was held here in 2005, and we're approaching another one this weekend, and so it's nice to get that connection between a succession of Eco Fairs. There was another Eco Fair that occurred 3 years ago that added more to this building, and I'll mention that in a minute. At that Eco Fair, a guest speaker was Mike Nicholas, and he is a world expert in designing daylit classroom buildings. And I was very, very inspired by Mike's remarks. And when David Fisher asked me to design this building, I decided that we would make it a fully daylit building. That would be, during the daytime, need to have no lights on. Now, when David asked me to design this building in 2004, 2005, he asked that it demonstrate to his students true sustainable living, which is to say harmony with nature, and that it do this by meeting the highest standards of natural law-based architecture, so that the building, which is the container in which the program's teaching occurred, would itself be a major aspect of the teaching of sustainable living. This is a brilliant conception for a building on the part of a client, and it's been kind of thrilling to work with David and the team over the years to design a building that meets this conception, and I think we did it. Now, first of all, I want to say that I designed the form of the building, but the energy systems and the construction details were designed by a fantastic team of people. I don't want to take credit for that. And Dal Loisel and Tim Messenger and Lonnie Gamble and Masaki Furukawa and Mike Nicholas and Roel Gunderson were all part of the team who designed this building, and I designed the energy systems for it. There are different lenses of building in harmony with natural law, and so to meet the high standard David had in mind, he wanted multiple lenses used. Professor Lonnie Gamble is speaking about some of the aspects of sustainable design that we incorporated into the design of this building. And I will speak about Maharishi Vastu architecture, which was revived by His Holiness Maharishi Mahesh Yogi from the ancient Vedic tradition, and which contains the knowledge of how to build buildings that are in harmony with nature. Now, sustainability is defined as acting so that we produce the best outcomes both for humanity and the natural environment now and in the future. And this is to maintain balance between man and nature. Vastu is defined as the balancing and harmonizing laws of nature that maintain nature's structures. So we can see that these two bodies of knowledge have the very same objective. Vastu is ancient, in fact, eternal and timeless, and sustainable living is very recent. Now, why has the field of sustainable living arisen recently? It's because we've discovered that when we don't design and build our buildings in harmony with laws of nature, then we may violate those laws. And violating a law of nature has an unfortunate consequence. Sustainable design exists to attempt to ensure that man-made environment does not destroy the harmony of nature. The risks on a micro level include sick building syndrome, indoor environments which are inadequately daylit, which cause a reduction in students' ability to learn. And on a macro level, being unable to sustain the rate of our consumption of energy, causing global warming, and destroying the habitat of species of life. Our failures are caused not by understanding, by not understanding clearly laws of nature regarding the effect of the built environment on us and nature. If we want to truly design sustainable architecture, we must be able to ask the question, what will be the effect of my building on its occupants in the natural world? Will my building sustain or uphold the connection between individual intelligence and cosmic intelligence? And we must have access to the laws of nature that will permit us to answer those questions. If we don't, then in spite of our best consequent intentions, we'll fall victim to the law of unintended consequences. The most famous example of that was the Environmental Protection Agency headquarters built in Washington, D.C., which had to be vacated 5 years after it was built because some of the employees were getting sick from the quality of air inside of it. Laws of nature are violated through ignorance on the part of well-meaning architects. But what we see in this building is sustainable design on the level of real harmony with the laws of nature, because we do have access to those laws of nature that establish harmony between the built environment and the cosmic and cosmic intelligence. Through the world's oldest and most comprehensive system of knowledge about nature and man, the Vedic tradition of knowledge associated with ancient India. One of its 40 limbs is Vedic architecture, or Vastu, or Stapachave, the architecture of nature. Its practical application is using the principles of nature's own architecture in our own architecture to ensure that our buildings and cities are in harmony with the cosmic forces. This knowledge has been not fully known for a very long time, and it was revived in its completeness by Maharshi. The first principle is that the sun rises in the east, and if a home faces the east, the total holistic influence of natural law that dispels the darkness of the night is coming as a floodlight towards the home, and that influence is what one feels is what lasts throughout the day. And if a house faces another direction, then the energy is gone, and it affects our physiology. It affects our brain. When one is facing east, as Professor Alaric Arenander of this university discovered, there is a particular firing pattern of the neurons in the brain compared to other directions of maximum brain coherence. And that's a proper feature of ideal functioning of the entire physiology. When all of the elements of Vastu are incorporated into a building, then we can predict with a high degree of certainty what the effects of life in the building will be. In one study, we were of non-Vastu buildings by analyzing the different qualities of the building according to the rules of Vastu. We were able to predict in 9 out of 10 buildings exactly how successful they would be. It's a very, very powerful collection of laws. How do we get these effects? By aligning the walls to the 4 cardinal directions with an auspiciously placed eastern entrance, using the proportions of nature, placing rooms according to the differing influences of the sun, having a center of silence or wholeness, designing with reference to a center point, just as an atom or a flower is designed with reference to a center point. It's an important principle of nature. Other elements include symmetry, proper placement on the site, slope of the land, and the effect of water bodies, daylighting from multiple sources, as Maharshi spoke about in his first talk on the subject, and he also spoke about getting energy directly from the sun. Photovoltaics, or PV, the free flow of ventilation and natural and non-toxic materials. The result of these is a place of totality and wholeness. And through these and other principles, each Vastu building is a holistic structure according to natural law. Now, in sustainable design, in the Northern Hemisphere, we like to design a building with a long east face so that we can heat the building naturally through the sun's energy in the winter. In Vastu, we understand the influence, the beneficial influence of an eastern orientation. So for this building, to optimize those two values of natural law, we designed a square building. But to get enough south light into this building, drawing on lessons I learned from Mike, I raised a high roof over the center of the building, which we can see through these windows, which has south windows on it, which brings south light into the very heart of the building, which can then be bounced into interior rooms. And so we have all the sunlight that any passively designed, south-facing sunlight that any passive house would want. And then to prevent the east, mid-morning intense east light from overheating the building, the plan is to have verandas on the east and west sides of the building to have that effect morning and afternoon, and we hope that those will be built soon. We have small verandas on the east side now. The central space is the Brahmastan, and we brought Roel Gunderson, an architect, in to design a grove of trees around the Brahmastan, around the central core, which are real trees that were harvested and which are supporting the roof of this building. And this creates an integration of physical nature, real nature that we can touch, with the silent nature at the core of the building, and creates a poetic reality in this building that I hope will nourish the students for many years to come. There is so much more to talk about. I'll mention just one last thing, which is that the walls of this building are made of pressed earth blocks that were pressed by the students themselves. And the earth was a pile of earth that we ended up with when we began the dining hall across the street, and just after construction began, Maharshi asked us to move the location of it. And because he asked us to do that, after we had started clearing the site, we had a huge pile of earth. It turned out that that earth is perfectly formulated to make earth blocks. And so all of the walls of this building are composed of that earth from across the street, which arose because of Maharshi's instructions about the prior building. And so I feel that, in a way, his attention is in the structure of this building, and it will always be in the structure of this building. The result of all of these principles is a building in harmony with natural law when viewed through every lens, a building that will bring clarity of thinking and improved ability to learn and bliss to the students, and that will teach the lessons of all aspects of sustainable living through its form and composition. What an opportunity David gave to me when he asked me to design this building with him. David, what a thrill it has been to work on it. I salute you, David and Mabel, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. David.
Thank you very much, John, and congratulations again on this beautiful design and beautiful building. Next, we are going to be hearing from the president of Maharshi University of Management, Dr. Bevan Morris. We spoke to him yesterday. He was in Greece, and he had offered to speak to us live, which would have been 3 in the morning his time, but we said we would all be just fine if he recorded a message for us, so that's what we're going to hear. Dr. Morris, in addition to being president of the university, is prime minister of the global country of world peace and is nearing the end of a three-month tour of African countries and countries around the Mediterranean, where he's inspiring educators and government leaders for consciousness-based education and for all of Maharshi's programs. So let's go ahead with the video of Dr. Morris.
Everywhere I've gone on my tour of Africa, 14 countries, I've had a great joy and pride in showing the picture of the Sustainable Living Center. And whoever I've been meeting, ministers or prime ministers or presidents, could see them immediately fascinated by the building, by the fact that Maharshi University of Management has constructed, as the home for the Sustainable Living major, the greenest building on any of the 3,000 college campuses in America. And I felt so good to be able to show them and explain all the special features that have been designed into this wonderful structure. When Maharshi was planning for the world, he wrote a book called Master Plan to Create Heaven on Earth. And this was summarized at the beginning of the book by a chart that showed the inner glorification of life and the outer glorification of life, both being essential to create heaven on earth. Inner glorification, of course, through experiencing the transcendental field of consciousness, the infinite field of consciousness, which is infinite bliss and creativity and energy and the totality of all the laws of nature, and the development of that, the enlivenment of that, through the Transcendental Meditation City program, including yogic flying, developing fulfillment on the inner level in unity consciousness. But at the same time, Maharshi included the outer glorification of life. And the outer glorification of life, it was all the technologies, all the transportation systems, all the energy production systems, and all the agriculture systems, organic agriculture systems, that could bring removal of all poverty from the world and a life in harmony with natural law, purity of life free from all pollution and from all damaging elements that could create sickness and suffering in the world. So this building, it embodies both of these. Everyone in it is a siddha, enlivening that inner level of life, the glorification of their inner life to the supreme level. But it's also the home and embodies in its very design and structure of all the technologies for life in harmony with natural law. This will be what is taught. This will be what is conveyed generation after generation to the fortunate youth of the world who would like to know the highest level of knowledge of how to achieve for the whole human race life in harmony with natural law. The ultimate level of that is expressed, of course, in the vastu design of the building, designed according to Maharshi Sthapatyame, Vedic architecture in harmony with natural law. We're so grateful to Maharshi for that, and to our great Vedic architects, Dr. Ike Hartman, Jonathan Lippman, the great experts who know all of those very precise details of orientation of the building to the true east, to the dawning sun, the most powerful influence of natural law on earth. And everything with proper proportions, proper placement, and everything with the highest level of purity. So this, Maharshi said, the whole world needs to be reconstructed according to those principles in order for life truly to be in harmony with natural law. And of course, the Sustainable Living Center is perfection in that regard. But Maharshi also was deeply interested in all the technologies. He was very interested in solar energy. He started a solar company in India, Maharshi Solar. He was deeply interested in any kind of transportation that was totally non-polluting and with fuels or with electricity from renewable sources. Everything Maharshi wanted to be sustainable in every nation self-sufficient, with pure and sustainable sources of everything required for a prosperous and fulfilled life for everyone in the nation. And that included, of course, organic agriculture to eliminate poverty in the world, and even Maharshi Vedic organic agriculture, where Vedic sounds are introduced at 8 stages of the development of the plants, the 8 properties in the plant being thereby enlivened for food that is not only more abundant, but more nourishing, and is food that actually develops enlightenment. And in that regard, of course, Maharshi always said, organic agriculture is the basic value. Organic agriculture means agriculture minus any poisons. And Maharshi Vedic organic agriculture means the minus poisons, but with a plus. The Vedic consciousness of the farmer and the Vedic sounds to awaken the inner intelligence of the plant. So this, and the electrosmog, Maharshi was so interested when we were just being in our rooms there in Holland, in Vlodra, we had people coming around and wrapping all the electrical wires in such a way that there would be no electrosmog in the building. So Maharshi thought of all these details. He was deeply concerned that there should be nothing negative, nothing destructive, nothing unhealthy. And even his house there, for example, it's a wooden house. It was prepared with linseed oil, you know, all natural, everything Maharshi did like that. So this building will be the home of that great knowledge of everything to make life heaven on earth. And we have to congratulate Dr. Fisher and Dr. Gamble and all the faculty for their initiative to create such a beautiful home of sustainable living, sustainable life, and perfection of life, heavenly life, for everyone on earth. So we thank them so much. We thank all the designers, all the builders, and all those very kind people who gave the funds to support this construction. And especially Eric and Mary Sue Schwartz, who have given a huge sum of $910,000 towards the construction of this building, as well as other very big donors like Steve Gooch, who's been right behind this project all along at every stage, and Brad Cook, who is an amazingly generous donor to everything, including the Vedic pundits in India on a massive scale, but also he always looking to help everything that Maharshi University of Management is doing. And of course the Abramson family and the Stanleys and so many people. Thank you to all of you and who gave and made it possible for the university to have such a building. And the Kresge Foundation and the Wege Foundation, we're just so, so thankful that it's come to this day. So this is the very auspicious day of entering this beautiful new building, the highlight of all the buildings constructed in all American college campuses. Maybe we could say, I think we could say, of all college buildings everywhere in the world. So it's really a great day for our university and a great day for the whole human race. And really a new dawn for Maharishi University of Management today at this auspicious moment, the Muhurta for entering our beautiful Sustainable Living Center. Jai Gurudev.
Thank you to Dr. Morris. Next, we'll hear from the Honorable Mayor Malloy, Mayor of the City of Fairfield. Besides being Mayor of Fairfield, Mayor Malloy is a member of our Board of Trustees, and he's the Chairman of the Trustees Endowment Committee and has taken charge of raising an endowment for the university. He was the President of Danaher Oil, I believe the largest oil and firm in its industry in the Midwest. And several years ago, he was named by MSNBC as one of the 14 greenest mayors in the United States, and is the spearhead of Fairfield's nationally known Go Green strategic plan. So please welcome to speak to us on behalf of the City of Fairfield and our Board of Trustees, the Honorable Mayor Ed Malloy.
Thank you, Dr. Pearson, and good evening, everyone. This is just a wonderful celebration tonight. I really start by congratulating the university for seeing this project through, a project that had such a huge vision and had such a great inspiration just from its conception, that to walk in here tonight with all of you and see it completed is just an extraordinary feeling. For those of you who have been to the opening of Maharshi's Tapachivay buildings in the past, or Vastu buildings, you know that there's something very, very special about the liveliness of the buildings. But this one carries something else. There's no question about it. You can absolutely feel it this evening. The last time I was in the building was about a year ago, exactly a year ago. And I intentionally stayed away because I wanted to see this completed project after having seen it at that point in time. And the occasion a year ago that I was in here was that I was hosting 50 dignitaries from around Iowa who would come to Fairfield for a two-day conference. And it's something that I attend annually, and these are the Attorney General of Iowa, state legislators, former state legislators, mayors, publishers, editors from all over the state. And they came to Fairfield to see what the focus on sustainability really looks like at the community level. And we took them everywhere, and they showed them everything. And it was the best conference they'd ever had. So the past conference was last Saturday. And as I walked in the door to a person, everyone said, "How's that building coming along?" Because they had been in here, and at that time, they knew it was going to be a very unique and special building. So I was happy to tell them that we were having our grand opening this week, and I know that the buzz from this building is going to spread throughout the state, and I heard David Fisher being asked earlier about where the buses are going to park, and we know that's a very practical question, because they are. There's no question about it. This is something to be very proud of and is going to showcase what it is that makes our community special and makes the university special. This is a great source of city pride. It was wonderful to be recognized nationally for our Go Green strategic plan. No city had done a comprehensive plan to that detail and that level at any size anywhere in the country at that time. And it's given us a great sense of community pride right now to have this living example of why our community so boldly endeavored to say that we can show the way. And we can do it in a way where the spirit of it is creativity and is volunteerism and is passion, individual passions for leading that way and showing the way to the rest of the country and the rest of the world. It's another example of just the pure manifestation of the leadership that is ever displayed in this community. It is what is expected of us at this point in time with our reputation. What's special about the building, as I was referring to earlier, is that it obviously embodies the consciousness of the faculty and the students. And I really want to congratulate all of my dear friends on the faculty who made this possible and engaged their students in a very real way so that they, when they leave here, they know they were part of something and created a very strong legacy building for this program and for the university. That's what the program is all about, the Sustainable Living Program. It is hands-on, engaging, a practicum, a program of study. And they will leave here, and they will do what we are educating them to do, change the world. The trustees are very proud today, obviously, because this mission was one that was very important to the university. This program has been a star for the last 8 years and has been performing so well. And we're so happy that it has this home at this point in time. And I want to also join our president, Dr. Morris, in thanking Eric and Mary Sue Schwartz, Steve Gooch, Brad Cook, Jeffrey Abramson, the Wege family, Bruce Carvin, who's a trustee, I believe, is on the phone, Petra Stanley, who is with us this evening, and all of the other donors who made this possible. Tonight, we celebrate this grand opening in the name of our founder, Maharshi Mahesh Yogi, and on behalf of all those who will study here and through their education, change the trends of time. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Mayor Malloy. Now we want to hear from the mother and father of this building, Dr. David Fisher and Mabel Fisher. This building, as I mentioned, began as just a thought for them in 2004. Dr. Fisher had been chairman of our biology department after having taught at the University of Hawaii and the University of Wisconsin. And in 2003, he completely reconceptualized that program and created the Sustainable Living major, our undergraduate program, the first major in sustainable living of any college or university in the world. And although several other colleges in these last years now offer programs in sustainable living, this one remains the most comprehensive, the most interdisciplinary, and the only consciousness-based program. And that's a huge achievement that quickly became our fastest growing and is our largest undergraduate major with about 100 students this year. And on top of that, then David conceptualized this beautiful building. And we want to welcome him and thank him and congratulate him. And also Mabel, who is a graduate of our Maharshi Vedic Science program and holds down the Maharshi Vedic Science component of the Sustainable Living program for the university. So Dr. David Fisher and Mabel Fisher.
Just a few words. Beginning about December 2004, at a meeting where Steve Gooch dramatically plunked down $400 in cash on a restaurant table, we set out to create a unique environmental building for our campus. What resulted, after many discussions, spirited arguments, and ever-evolving changes, is what you see here today. In a nutshell, our ultimate goal was to have a building that would be off the grid with respect to electricity, heating, cooling, water, and waste management. In addition, we wanted it to meet the criteria for four prominent building certifications: LEED Platinum, the Living Building Challenge, Building Biology, and of course, Maharshi Vedic Architecture. And as you heard already, it's as if that wasn't enough, we also wanted the building to have daylighting throughout, including the restrooms in the very center of the building, and to be supported by whole trees. Now, there are lots of wonderful environmental buildings on college campuses all over the country, some of them much larger and much more expensive than this one. But none includes all the features that we have in this building in one particular building. In fact, nowhere else has anyone ever even come close to pulling all of those features together in one structure. Only a consciousness-based educational institution like Maharshi University of Management would have the creativity, the vision, and the nerve to even try it. It really is, literally, the most ambitious commercial environmental building that has ever been attempted, as far as we know, not just on college campuses, but anywhere on the planet. It was intended to be a building that teaches for the students of our sustainable living program. In short, it's a building that walks the environmental talk, that demonstrates the concepts that we cover in our classrooms. That idea of a building that teaches flows right down in this room to furniture that teaches, as you see in these 21 tables in this room. They were custom built through donations, about $850 a table, to demonstrate biodiversity coming from 19 different plant families within 100 miles of Fairfield, various anatomical features by virtue of the way they were cut, and the principles of sustainable harvesting, and not least, beauty. All of the colors you see on these tables here reflect the natural colors of the wood. There's no stains of any kind. So you can see the diversity. In fact, beauty is just as important as any other aspect of sustainability. This incredible building is a living, evolving work in progress. If you would like to be a part of the exciting, ongoing process, there are a number of excellent opportunities right here. Please feel free to join us in this historic, visionary project. And now, Ma Bell will say just a couple words.
Well, I brought this diagram, this rendering, that was the first physical manifestation on the building that John Liebman made about 6-7 years ago. Another time, it seemed like an impossible dream. But all along, we kept telling us, think big, that's what Maharishi told us. And today, we have this building, we have the dream coming true. I want to appreciate and thanks to all the people that in one way or another were related to the building. From the very beginning when we had those meetings in the hall, Annapurna in the student union, and the students who were involved in some of the process, construction, etc. And I want also to thank the university and the community because, as David says, a building like this only could have happened here. And I want to thank the earth for providing the land where the building stands and all the material and taking into account that with this building we try to minimize environmental impact. So now I wish for the building to keep growing in sustainability, in Estapatia Veda and in beauty, and also inspire other buildings to follow the example and even to be better than this. Thank you. Thank you for all your love.
Mabel Fisher holds a PhD in physiology. Still relevant to a physical structure. Now we're going to be hearing from Eric Schwartz, and it was through the enormous, enormous generosity of Eric and Mary Sue and his wife Mary Sue Schwartz that this building became possible. Eric is founder and chairman of Cambridge Investment Research here in Fairfield. He is nationally recognized as one of the outstanding leaders in his industry. He's a dynamic member of our Board of Trustees. And again, it was his vision early in this project that really helped us bring this building to fruition. So please welcome speaking to us by phone this evening, Eric Schwartz.
Craig, and thank you, everyone. Mary Sue and I are sorry we can't be there with all of you tonight to celebrate this joyous occasion, and we thank all of you for being there and celebrating with us. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly.
The miracles of technology. So I really do want to voice my thanks to everyone over the last 7 or 8 years. You know, certainly Dr. Fisher, Lonnie Gamble, Jeffrey Abramson, and all the others that people have already referred to, and certainly the donors and the staff that have made it possible. I'd also like to mention Tim Messenger, who came on late in the project, but is absolutely responsible and big part for this building being open and getting done here in the last 9 months. He did a great job. Certainly, all the faculty of this department and others, but particularly this department, who will make this building real by what they teach in it. And I think most of all, to all the students who over the coming years will make it real and take it out with them wherever they go and spread the wisdom that is in this building and in this university and in this community to all the world. Mary Sue and I first heard about the idea of this building in an article that appeared in one of the local newspapers before, of course, it had broken ground when it was in a conceptual phase, but through some donations, there were some designs, preliminary designs that had been made. And when I first saw the article and then showed it to Mary Sue that same evening, we just felt that this was a perfect project for MUM. The whole concept of sustainability, the sustainability of life on Earth is based on consciousness, which we are specialists in. So what better place to also teach sustainability in the physical world as exemplified in this program and in this building? So especially given my own personal interest and Mary Sue's in the environment in general, it seemed like a perfect project for us to get behind in a big way. And we're just very happy that we did. It turned out that it took a little longer and a little more complicated, like most things in life. But this day we certainly celebrate the success of this. But really the success we will all look back in years to come as students learn in this building and bring this knowledge out. It's my personal belief, and it has been since I started looking at this building project a number of years ago, that the current 100 students in this department, which represents a significant percentage of the total undergraduate students in Fairfield, I believe that with this building and others, this department alone could have hundreds of students in it, if not thousands, if we continue to be leaders in this field. This is a new field where we really can distinguish ourselves and bring attention to the university in general and bring great success. And so it is my goal that this is one of many buildings that will be built on a sustainable basis here to bring this department into hundreds of students, if not thousands. So to me, this is a new beginning of sustainable knowledge, of sustainable building combined with it being structured in sustainable consciousness. And it's a privilege for Mary Sue and I to be part of this great step forward and for this great day. So thank you for attending, and thank you for your contributions, all of you, to this dream come true.
Thank you, Eric, and the vision of thousands of students coming and being trained in consciousness-based approach to sustainable living is really a beautiful vision. And thank you again to you and Mary Sue for your incredible support for this building. Next, we're going to be hearing from Steve Gooch, who, as Dr. Morris mentioned, has been an early supporter of this program. He was also already financially supporting the sustainable living program before the idea of this building was even born. Dr. Gooch is a graduate of Maharshi University of Management, holds a PhD in neuroscience. He's the author and contributor to a number of studies of the effects of transcendental meditation on physiological functioning. So please welcome to join to speak to us also by telephone, Dr. Steve Gooch.
Well, you've surprised me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I didn't know I was speaking, so I couldn't get reception up at the house, so I had to come down. I'm sitting on the beach in Laguna Beach here, so I could hear it. I was just enjoying the wonderful festivities, and it sounds wonderful there. I actually, before I called in, I had seen there was a news clip, apparently on Channel 13 in Iowa, that then got transferred to the Internet, so I watched a little news clip on it, and it looked wonderful. I think it had John Lippman and Lonnie in it, and it looks fantastic. So all I can say is I loved MUM. It was MIU when I graduated from it. As I've said in previous talks that I've been fortunate to be able to share with university, that I feel like everything that I've learned that's fundamentally important to me, I learned at MIU, and I carry it in my heart as my home, as a deep and real home. And the two loves that I have really have been my growth of consciousness. And I started TM in 1975, but I was actually a member of the Sierra Club in 1974. So not that it's more important, but they certainly are deeply intertwined in my passions in life. And so I feel very blessed that I've been able to help and to be a part of it. So Jay Gurdow.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you again for your very generous support early on, which gave huge confidence that we could actually complete this building. Next, we'll be hearing from Professor Lonnie Gamble of our Sustainable Living Program, one of our beloved professors, co-founder of Abundance Eco Village and founder of the Big Green Summer Program. And come on up here, Lonnie, and give us your thoughts.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Kind of overwhelmed here with gratitude for everybody in the community who's made this possible. It's been a long haul, and when people get discouraged, they can look at this as a sign of hope. And if people say it is impossible, they can point here and say that it is. And both in the development of our consciousness and the potential for what the human nervous system has as an ultimate potential, and the potential we have to do good and to be a partner with nature in creating a new way of living on the earth. I think that we're going to be sustainability is one of these big changes that happens in human consciousness over every couple of hundred years. I think it's going to be bigger than the Industrial Revolution, bigger than when we went from hunter-gatherers to settled agriculture. I think it's going to take 50 to 100 years, just like in the Industrial Revolution. It took 200 years, and we woke up with a completely different relationship to each other and to the universe and to nature. And I think we're in for that kind of change, and development of consciousness is central to making that happen. So I'm just so grateful. Again, I won't take up a lot of time. I just would say one little thing that earlier when we were testing out the systems yesterday, the renewable energy and wind and solar, that we were generating 40 times more power than the building was using at the time. So, I'm a bit overwhelmed here. I just want to thank everybody who it really takes a community to make a building like this. So thank you very much.
I would like to invite to also share his perspective with us, Dr. Peter Swan, Minister of Communications of the Global Country of World Peace, who is back here in Fairfield with his wife, Dr. Susie Swan, teaching their course on organic farming and gardening in light of Maharshi Vedic science, which they've taught now in 8 countries around the world. Please welcome Dr. Peter Swan.
What a great day. Maharshi saw, he had a vision of the whole world as just a world of sustainable garden cities. Everywhere, sustainable garden cities. And those cities would be self-sufficient for their water, for their energy production, for their food production, maybe with a bit of farmland around, for their waste treatment. Everything non-polluting, and every sustainable building, every sustainable home is the unit of such a sustainable garden city. And this is that building, the first one. Not only that, but this building expresses the way natural law functions at its deepest level. This building is self-referral. It doesn't need anything from outside. It's self-referral. It is self-sufficient. It is organic, non-polluting. Therefore, it's a sustainable building. So, again, I'd like to offer my congratulations, very deep congratulations to all those who have conceived it, designed it, funded it, and made it happen. Mahashi's global family all around the world looks to MUM and is so grateful to MUM for everything it does. And now at this time when there is such an alertness and enthusiasm for sustainable living around the world, they are so grateful. We are all so grateful for this building which you have pioneered here. And it is a model. It is the model for sustainable Vedic garden cities worldwide. It's the start, as Lani just said, it's the start of a new era in world architecture. This is the watershed now. Until now, we've had non-sustainable some vastu. Now we've got sustainable and vastu. So great thanks on behalf of Mahashi's global family all around the world to all of you who've made it happen. Our thanks and our congratulations for manifesting Mahashi's vision. Jai Gurudev.
Thank you, Dr. Swan. And now we'll hear from a student in the Sustainable Living Program, Michaela McDonald.
I'm not really used to microphones, so this should be interesting. I just want to echo a lot of the thoughts that everybody's brought up today, but I'm here to bring the voice of the students to this ceremony. And when I was thinking about this earlier today, I thought about how it's been said that buildings are a reflection of the people. And with that in mind, I really see this building as a reflection of the past and the present and the future students. And it's already been drawing numerous people to MUM and to the study of sustainable living, myself included. This is part of why I wanted to come here. And I trust that it will continue to draw more and more people that see themselves reflected in this building. To the students, this building isn't just a classroom. It's also a representation of the merging of our dreams and reality. And I think it's a real true honor to be here on this day when we, as a collective, the dreamers, get to inhabit this dreamt up reality. And I just want to thank all of you for showing us, you know, the students, that it is possible, that dreams do get to come alive and we get to feel them and live them. So thank you.
And now we'll close with our traditional candle lighting and cake cutting ceremony. So to light the light in our cake will be construction manager of this building, Tim Messenger.
Holiness, Maharshi Mahesh Yogi, the global country of world peace, we light this light, the light of pure consciousness, the light of life for all mankind. wishing that the incredible light from this building spreads throughout the world to illuminate the whole building industry, government, and everyone who's responsible for bringing these principles to life, and quickly ushers in this new age that Dr. Swan and Lonnie were talking about. Tim?
I'd like you to take note of the jacket and pants. They're 100% linen, fully biodegradable, sustainable, no artificial colors or flavors. My job is doing design work and actually really a lot of practical hands-on applications. Was really made possible by the brilliant professors in the sustainable department. When we talked about putting a geothermal heat pump in this building, Mark Stimson, is he here tonight? He did just theorize about it. He actually went out and built the geothermal heat pump loop field, and when it was 100 degrees out last summer. When we had to work out the details for the net zero energy, Lonnie was out there 100% supporting everybody's efforts, crunching numbers, proving the system. When we, by some incredible good luck and grace of God, we had a really warm spring and the ground dried out enough to where we could just sort of in the last minute get some landscaping completed on the east side of the building. And Lonnie, when we were out there a week ago, Lonnie lost his fancy duds there and put on his workman's ensemble, and he was out there with shovels and rakes working as hard or harder than anybody else. And I want to emphasize tonight what an incredible treasure the people are in the sustainable department. These guys know more about sustainable engineering and design than anybody else in the world, I believe. I've been doing mechanical design for a number of years, and when it really comes down to really understanding these systems, these guys are an incredible treasure, and we're really blessed to have them. David Fisher never lost his vision, always grabbed me by the scuff of the neck and said, "No, Tim, you can't use Armstrong tile on the floor. It's got 8% vinyl in it." And of course, my personal private executive best friend, David Tobe, who was always on the lookout and trying to keep me out of trouble. And believe me, that's not an easy task. So thank you to all. And thank you to David Stride and his Airmark crew. They supported me on this project 110%. When I needed a backhoe, they said, "Sure, Tim, you can use the backhoe." When I needed a skid loader, they said, "Come and get it." They were extremely helpful, and it was a great honor and a joy to work with them. So thank you all, and I hope you all enjoy the building.
And to cut the first slice of cake, Dal Loisel, please come on up. Dal's tremendous enthusiasm and entrepreneurship at the beginning of the project that really got it off to a great start, and particularly finding people, finding vendors who contributed materials to this building. Dal was the construction manager in the early phases before, in this final phase, handing that off to Tim Messenger. So Dal was a great inspiration and source of energy and intelligence right from the start. So Dal, to cut our cake.
So it's a long, long life in the direction of immortality, and may we live in this world of relative change in a way that sustains us and sustains us forever. Thank you. I was asked to say a few words, and since it's late, I'll say a very few words. But the building was started, as David Fisher said, and I'll break it down to three things, to be self-sufficient for energy, water, and waste. And so far, we're self-sufficient for energy, which is a fairly good achievement. We still need to get the water and the waste and some other things. So this is a living building, and we have to continue to develop it. And why these things are important is sustainability. What's the opposite of sustainability? Sorry. It's extinction. And we've seen the extinction of species and societies that failed to progress. And progress is at stake today. And it's only through the sustainability, the progress of ourselves, that we can progress as a species. And this building was designed and conceived to demonstrate that it is possible with the technologies that are available and the intelligence and education that we have to solve these global problems. We have to have energy, we have to have water, and we have to get rid of the waste. And if we don't do that, we don't live. I'm 61 years old, and we, our generation, was the first generation that was raised with the concept that man could destroy the world. And us hippies came out of that. It was live for today because there might not be a tomorrow. And that threat changed society, and there was a restructuring of society. But that threat was fairly remote because it took a madman with a whole group of people to push a button. But today, my children, and the children in this department, the students in this department, face the possibility that we can destroy this planet with business as usual. If we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to destroy the energy, we're destroying the water. We already have energy wars, water wars are coming. And the largest dead zone in that Gulf of Mexico, which was well huge and growing every day. The oil spill got a big publicity, but that dead zone is caused by the runoff of our cities and our farms. We are the ones that are doing it. So we have to change what we're doing. So the young people, why I got involved in this is my daughter was in this department, and I saw the professors, and as Tim said, they are brilliant. And the students are brilliant. And they had nothing. They had a beat-up old building and no real equipment. So the idea was to have a living laboratory, a building that would embody and demonstrate that the students could learn in, that reflected what they were teaching, and that they could see and learn how to lead the world, how we can do this on the basis of consciousness. So it is my hope and desire that we continue to contribute and continue to develop this building to its full potential. We cannot go off the vision of that goal. It's not a lofty ideal. It's not a competition we've entered. It's survival that stays. And Maharishi often talks about when we're meditating in the dome, how we should have good, pure water, good, pure food, good rest, good, pure environment. And without us learning to live sustainably and to be self-sufficient for energy, water, and waste, we won't have those things. So an age of enlightenment in heaven and earth requires not only our grasp of consciousness, but the application of that to everyday problems in society. So we need to just show
that consciousness can solve the most basic problems facing our society. And I think this building, with the students and the professors, and the continuing to grow it, can do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Dal. This is just the first of several events in the next days to celebrate the opening of the Schwartz Gooch Sustainable Living Center. The next will be Friday morning at 11 o'clock. We're calling that the grand opening. There will be a press conference. Members of the media will be here. We've invited government leaders. We'll have a representative from our Iowa Association of Private Colleges and Universities, which MUM belongs to, will be here for that. And it turns out by pure coincidence that the director of tourism for the state of Iowa with her whole team will be here in Fairfield that day. And when she learned that we were opening this building, she asked if she could come and speak about it. So that will be great. So that's 11 o'clock Friday morning, and then we'll have tours of the building and an open house in the afternoon and more tours on Saturday. So please tell all your friends to come and help us celebrate on those occasions also. We have refreshments, I think, a little bit left, maybe.
And cake.
And once again, thank you all for coming and celebrating this wonderful day from Marsh University of Management today. Jay Gurudev.